Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio series. This series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandin Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each presentation features a different national speaker or business owner sharing dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. The first impression, and sometimes the only impression your customer has of you and your company, is through a telephone conversation. Professionalism on the phone can move the prospect forward toward a final sale. Likewise, lack of professionalism can do just the opposite. Proper phone etiquette is very important. Our success in the area of telephone skills, like everything else we do, is often dependent upon understanding the basics and then executing those skills properly over and over again. This month, Sue Rouse is going to provide enough practical suggestions to move any company's phone skills up at least two notches. Sue's company, Wake Up Presentations, is located in Green Bay, Wisconsin. As a full-time entrepreneur, consultant, and speaker, Sue Rouse inspires people to action. With over 20 years of successful sales, Sue brings expertise in the area of sales, behavioral styles, communication, phone skills, marketing, telemarketing, and teamwork, while inspiring audiences with her enthusiasm, high energy, and humor. As a member of the National Speakers Association, Sue offers 7 motivational customer services sales skills workshops, along with a variety of inspirational keynotes designed specifically to inspire your staff to reach higher levels of productivity. This presentation is going to focus on phone etiquette. No matter how good your phone skills may be, we can guarantee that you'll pick up a few pointers from Sue's presentation.
Have you ever spoken to a dead fish? No, not literally, but a person who sounds just like one. You know the type. The voice is dull, boring, non-energetic, unenthusiastic, and generally sounding uninterested. Well, what is your first impression about that person? How about the company? Do you immediately say to yourself, now here's a company I want to do business with? Or do you maybe say, wrong number? The plain and simple fact is that the way you sound over the phone creates an image, an immediate image, and an immediate impression of your company to that caller. The image and impression will either make or break your future business relationship. Hello, everyone. Again, my name is Sue Rouse, owner of Wake Up Presentations, and I am thrilled to work with Grandin Associates to deliver professionalism by phone to all of you through this forum. As you all know, I'm sure, in today's competitive world, it doesn't matter what business you are in. You cannot afford to lose one single customer because of poor phone skills. Let me ask you this. If you were a salesperson, would you visit your customer with ratty hair, ragged clothes, or a frown plastered all over your face? I sincerely doubt it. In fact, I would guess that you would do everything possible to create a good first impression. You would be more apt to put on your good clothes to try to look your best and present a bright smile. One very important lesson to learn about impressions is that changing a person's first impression is very difficult. Why put yourself through that? Or better yet, why put your company through that? Create a good first impression from the very beginning. So let's start with our telephone personality. Learning appropriate etiquette and phone skills is simple once we understand a few basic facts. According to experts, in face-to-face communications, more than 50% is done through body language. You know, like eye contact, hand gestures, body movements, and facial expressions. On the telephone, we don't have any of those luxuries. We have to work twice as hard to communicate the exact same message. The only instrument we have is our voice. And our voice will say a lot about ourselves and our company. Your telephone personality plays a major role in the success or failure of your business. Therefore, each and every opportunity you have on the telephone, we need to focus now on what type of personality is shining through and what is our telephone etiquette. Here are some 5 points to consider. Number one, always project a sincere attitude over the phone. Again, the customers cannot see you to determine your sincerity. Instead, they will feel it through your voice. So use natural vocabulary and tone. Keep your voice clear with inflections up and your tone bright and cheerful. Number two, always project a friendly attitude. No, this does not mean to be giddy or over-enthusiastic, but it does mean that you use a tone and a manner that are always warm and cordial. A tip to remember is to put a smile on your face when you pick up the phone. You will automatically sound better. You don't believe me? Let's give this a try. Here's an exercise for you. Now, without a smile on your face, I would like you to say out loud, "You're really going to like it." Okay? Now you try it. You're really going to like it. Well, how did that sound to you? Dull, perhaps? Okay. Now let's try this. Put a large smile on your face and say it again. "You're really going to like this." Didn't that sound better? I bet it did. Because a smile is so important. I always ask my clients to buy a mirror for work and put it directly by their telephone. Now, every time their phone rings, they look into the mirror, they smile, and they pick up the receiver. You will be so surprised how much your phone communication will be improved. Also remember to always identify yourself and your customer with warmth and interest. Do not come across too formal or too glib. And don't rush your conversation. The ideal rate of speech on the telephone is approximately 140 words per minute. That's slower than a normal face-to-face conversation, but it makes it easier for people to concentrate and understand what it is you're trying to say. Always be attentive to what is being said and courteous. Number three, be responsive to your customers as well. Again, because they can't see you, they can't shake your hand, they can't see your smile, they feel less likely to trust you initially. So, whenever you have the opportunity to help a customer, solve a problem for the customer, or even just answer a customer's question, you definitely are building trust. If you tell a customer that you will have an answer for them by 4 p.m., let's say, being responsive means that you must meet that commitment. Even if you don't have all the information, please call the customer back at 4 p.m. and tell them, "I'm sorry, I don't have all the information yet at this time. However, I will keep working on it. And may I call you back at 10 a.m. tomorrow?" Most customers don't mind half as much if you don't have all the information as they would if you just missed the time commitment. Okay, let's move on to number four. Have you ever felt like you were just a number and not a person? This is one of the worst sins we can commit in customer service. Customers always want to be treated like unique individuals. You need to guard against a tone of voice that sounds tired or dull, giving the impression of someone bored with doing the same job over and over again. So you need to vary your speech and tones from call to call. You can even practice saying the same thing in different ways. But at all costs, avoid sounding mechanical. Number 5, always sound professional. Answer the phone during the second ring. Speak directly into the transmitter. Your lips should be approximately 1/2 inch from the mouthpiece. Avoid jiggling the receiver around or moving your head around. Make sure that you enunciate your words clearly. Don't make the customer struggle to understand you. And of course, never talk with food or gum or candy in your mouth. Oh, and one last thing, gently lay the receiver down. Oh, and by the way, might as well always ask the customer or allow the customer to hang up first. This allows the customer a chance to ask that last-minute question without having to call back because we hung up. Along with our personality and phone etiquette does come some telephone manners as well. And like all good manners, they are a reflection of your respect for the other person. The greater respect we show for our customers, the more comfortable and confident they will feel doing business with us, especially over the phone, when again, they can't even shake our hand. So let's talk about some good manners and some good recommendations that can keep your customers coming back successfully, even over the telephone. Number 1, have all the information you need at hand before you pick up the call or return a phone message. Preparation is going to be the key. The more prepared you are for each call, the more confident you sound. Putting the caller at ease and being able to immediately assist them increases your chances greatly of securing that customer. Of course, don't ever try to snow a customer. Somehow they always know. They always find out, and you will lose their trust and respect, not only for you, but also for your company. If you cannot answer a question for a customer, be professional about it. Admit it, and let the customer know you will either return the call with the answer or have someone within the company help them immediately. How about number 2 here? Always answer your phone promptly. See, if the phone rings and rings too many times, a caller will decide that a company is either too busy to take their call or they don't care enough to take their call. Either way, who loses? Responsiveness is extremely important here. Do you know what the number 1 reason for a customer to leave a business and go somewhere else is? You guessed it. They feel ignored. That's it. Ignored. Don't let that happen to your customers, especially in this competitive world we live in. Number 3. Call the person by name and repeat it throughout the conversation. Again, you don't want any of your customers feeling like they are being treated like a number and not an individual. Be as personable as possible. And for most business calls, use their last name until you know that person or have asked for permission to use their first. Names are considered private and personal. So you need to earn the right to call a customer by their first name or just get their permission. Number 4, use language your customer will understand. If you really think about it, nobody is impressed by big words. Avoid company jargon and acronyms. Use language that is clear and easy to comprehend. Comprende? Okay, just kidding. Understand? If your company telemarkets, be very careful not to use a canned script. It's insulting to the customers, and it treats them as if they were all the same, and we sure know better than that. Always remember to use common courtesy. Please and thank you are still the magic words for making a customer feel important and valued. Always ask permission to put a customer on hold and never leave them in this limbo state longer than about 30 seconds. The greatest service you can provide a customer on the telephone is to ask them if they would prefer to wait on the hold or have a representative call them back. Having the proper phone personality day in and day out can be difficult at best, but nonetheless imperative. Appropriate telephone skills are critical to maintaining the success and integrity of your business. They are skills that need to be reinforced regularly. So to help reinforce these skills, I have put together a list of 10 questions to answer honestly. And of course, honesty is really what we're after. Because to help identify areas in a company when they're dealing with their customers over the phone, we need to pay attention to certain phrases, certain words, and certainly to how it sounds. So let's do this together. I will ask you a question, and if you can, answer with one of these three responses. Always, usually, or seldom. Once we do this, we're going to score this and just see how you came out. So let's begin with question number one. Do I treat each customer as a unique individual? Number two. Do I listen carefully and give the customer my full attention? Number three. When I talk, do I sound genuinely interested in that customer's needs? Number four. Do I make each customer feel that he or she is getting special treatment? Number five. Do I make exceptions for special situations? Number six. Do I let the customer speak without interrupting or contradicting? Number seven. Do I explain why I'm asking certain questions or taking a specific action? Number eight. At the end of our conversation, does my customer feel good about what has happened? Number nine. Do I follow up on my promises to make sure the customer's problem is taken care of promptly? And number 10. Do I treat customers with respect and talk to them in a friendly, personable, and professional manner? Now, scoring this will be interesting because we want to put a value to each of these areas. So when you score, I'd like you to put a 10 by any answer that you had always written down. I'd like you to put a 5 by the usually, and then a 0 at the seldom. So, how'd you do? How do you sound? What image are you creating for your clients, for your customers? Did you score 90 to 100? If you did, congratulations. You're already a full-fledged people pro on the telephone. This is awesome because why? How you sound, the image you create, will make or break that business relationship. If you scored 70 to 89, okay, you're partway there. If you scored 50 to 69, we've got some work to do on our phone skills and etiquette. And 0 to 49, ouch. May I, or do I, need to say more? Well, did you answer always to all of the questions? Most of them? Some of them? If not, this is an excellent list to follow on your daily basis to help enhance your telephone skills and provide your customers with exceptional customer service. The final word I would like to mention about telephone skills and etiquette is to remember that the phone customers are not an interruption to your day, and they are no less important to your business than your walk-in customers are. As a matter of fact, customers more and more are choosing to do business either over the phone or via computer. And how your company handles this demand is critical to your business success. You know, this reminds me of a story. Has this ever happened to you? Now picture this. It's Monday morning, and you have had the most wonderful weekend of your life. What do you think the first thing you want to do is when you come into work? Tell everyone, of course, you want to share that fabulous weekend. So you call the people around, maybe into your office or your cubicle spots, and you start to tell this incredible story. Now picture this. You're right in the middle of the story, and what happens? The phone rings. What an interruption to your story, huh? Well, so what do you do at this point? You put the caller on hold, and you finish your story, right? Of course not. But truly, isn't that what we'd like to do? And that's because we do forget that the customer is not an interruption to our day. He or she is actually the reason we exist. I want to share with you what I call the 11 commandments of good business. I follow these, and I really believe in these because these are so simplistic, we forget them. Number one, customers are the most important people in our business. Number two, customers are not dependent on us. We are dependent on them. Number three, customers are not an interruption of our work. They are the purpose of it. Number four, customers do us a favor when they call. We are not doing them a favor by serving them. Number five, customers are part of our business, not outsiders. Number six, customers are not cold statistics. They are flesh and blood, human beings with feelings and emotions just like ours. Number seven, customers are not persons to argue with or match wits with. Number eight, customers are people who bring us their wants. It is our job to fill those wants. Number nine, customers are deserving of the most courteous and attentive treatment we can give them. Number 10, customers are the people who pay our salaries. And last, 11th commandment is that customers are the lifeblood of this and every business. Remember that when the telephone rings, that you are now given a new opportunity to fulfill the needs of a customer and create a successful and hopefully long-lasting business relationship. Let's move on now to the telephone customer themselves. Generally, customers are pleasant, understanding, cordial, and patient, right? Okay, well, some of them are. Others, as we well know and have all experienced, can be a little more demanding and frustrating. This is really a delicate subject because we always strive to please the customer and make them happy. But sometimes it takes a lot of patience on our end. Let's get a few things straight about customers right now. First of all, they really do not usually wake up in the morning, pick out a company that they do business with, and say, I think I'll call them up today and be the customer from, well, you know. Really, they don't. What does happen is that a customer has a problem that needs a resolution. And of course, usually, immediately. And they are now upset about it. When this happens, we usually encounter an irate, frustrated, or simply unhappy customer. We already know that if a customer is unhappy with our company, they are free to change to a competitor of ours at any time. And we also know that if we lose too many customers, we will be out of business. So what do? We take a deep breath and begin the process of helping our very valued customer. We do this by recognizing that a customer has personal needs, and these needs must be met. And again, especially over the telephone, because we cannot extend our hand. We cannot give them our smile, and our sincerity must be felt. So what are some of those personal needs that customers definitely need to feel? One is to be recognized as a unique individual. No customer wants to be treated like a number or a routine problem. The customer wants to feel important and be given personal attention. Another personal need is the need to feel that they are right. A customer doesn't want to feel as if a problem is his or her own fault. They also want to be able to express themselves freely. A customer wants to talk without being interrupted or contradicted. They want to be treated fairly. No customer wants to feel like he or she is being cheated, taken advantage of, or treated unjustly. And lastly, a customer really wants to feel assured. A customer wants to know why you're asking particular questions or taking a specific course of action. And he or she wants to feel that you're really going to take care of their problem. So handling these difficult customers or upset customers is definitely a challenge to everyone. But how good you get at it is up to you, and really the future of your business. The better you become, the more confident you will also become at it. Rule number one, when you have an upset customer on the line, always, always let them vent. Allow them the opportunity to let it all out. You, on the other hand, must sit there calmly and intently listening. Do not interrupt the customer for any reason. You may interject some small words of understanding like, I see, okay, etc. But don't try to solve the problem as they are speaking. Your perception of the problem at that time may be completely different than the customer's perception. Once the customer has finished, then immediately go to work by putting the customer at ease and empathizing with them. My very favorite way to do this is by using three special words. They are feel, felt, found. Here's how I put them to work. Mr. and Mrs. Customer, I am so sorry you feel this way. I completely understand. I too have felt this way in a similar situation as a customer before. And then you want to conclude with, but what I have found is that our company or I can take care of this for you. You see, a customer does not want to argue. What they do want is to speak with a professional who will resolve the conflict. Nine times out of ten, if you remain calm and cool, your customer will begin to mirror your telephone personality. Please try the feel, felt, found ideas with your next irate or unhappy customer. These words really do help calm the customer down and put the problem in perspective for both of you. There certainly can be many reasons a customer calls upset, but did you know that many times the problem is simply a misunderstanding? Have you ever heard the phrase, perception is reality? I am a firm believer in this. If you ever had a customer that absolutely insisted he or she was right on an issue, maybe the issue was a price or a product or anything that you had discussed, guess what? He or she was right. And now you're going, what? But what if they were wrong? Well, you may have been right as well. You see, the way the initial information may have been perceived may be different for both of you. That is why putting yourself in the customer's position and knowing that the issue will be resolved will greatly assist you in servicing your customers professionally. In order to reduce the amount of misunderstandings you have over the telephone, you will need to understand one basic rule. We need to be quiet and listen. Listening skills are critical. So often words and the meanings of sentences are misunderstood because we listen with half an ear. It used to be that people were applauded and commended for doing 10 things at one time. But you know, this really is no longer the case. If your goal is to provide outstanding customer service to each and every customer, you will need to give each caller 100% of your attention. Here are some rules that you can follow when listening to customers over the telephone. Number one, limit your own talking. As the saying goes, you can't talk and listen at the same time. Number two, always remember to think like the caller. We have all been customers at one time or another, so we know what we like and dislike about service. Work with each individual customer as if they were your only customer. Number three, ask questions. Customers would rather you ask questions to clear up information on that initial call than to have a misunderstanding happen later. Number four, don't interrupt a customer. Allow the customer complete freedom to elaborate on their wants and their needs. This gives you an abundance of information that you can now use right away or tuck away for a possible sale or service item later on. Number five, you must concentrate on your phone conversation. Once again, you need to remember that unlike a face-to-face conversation, you don't have any help with comprehending a customer's message. You must rely solely on what you hear. So don't be a busy listener. Put everything aside and listen with both ears. Number six, taking notes is very helpful also. This will help you remember important points of the conversation. One hint though, be a selective note taker. If you try to write everything down, you're going to miss the point entirely. Number seven, remember too that you need to react to ideas and not the person themselves. Don't allow irritating voices or mannerisms to distract you from what the customer is trying to say. Number eight, don't jump to your own conclusions. I know it's easy to do that sometimes, but avoid making unwarranted assumptions about what the call or caller is really trying to say, and never complete their sentences for them. Number nine, finally, listen for overtones. you really can learn a great deal about the caller from not only what they say, but how they are saying it to you. Now, you might be thinking, well, these rules on listening are pretty simple and even common sense. But are they easy to apply? That's why so many misunderstandings are out there. There's a lot of reasons why these pointers are not always used. Like, our minds don't wait. Our thoughts are racing through our minds so much faster than the person is talking to us. That's why we really have to relax and listen. The worst part of this issue is that we think we know already what is going to be said, so we only half listen. We are busy listeners. We really do try to do too many tasks while listening. So we need to concentrate to avoid misunderstandings and future headaches. Oftentimes, our emotions make us deaf. We tend to take things personally, especially when someone is upset or has an opposing viewpoint. We need to remember that customers are not out to get us. They want quality products and quality services at fair prices. We can do that. We also do need to learn to really concentrate. Forget doing your other task while on the phone, but have a pencil and paper in hand and jot down main ideas and notes that you know will help you to understand the caller's needs. Cut out the distractions, close your office door, change your seating position, do whatever it takes. Oh, and by the way, put your computer down or your cell phone down. Don't be texting, which is very common nowadays. We also need to accept controversy. Remember that everyone is entitled to their own opinion. So be supportive and understanding of their side of the story. And as far as repeating instructions, many of us feel embarrassed about repeating or asking our client to repeat something. But the fact is that that can be an important part of a communication that was missed. So repeating it allows us to be certain of what the caller was really asking for. There are a couple communication principles that I'd like to go over with you now in using these tools, because we want the customer to always feel as though we are on their side. So the three rules to think about is, number one, how can we make the customer feel important? Number two, we need to always act professionally. And number three, we need to remember to always be a customer advocate. These are keys to dealing effectively with the public in person or over the phone in both sales and service businesses. The skills we use to make customers feel important are things like using the customer's name, listening actively to his or her message, complimenting his or her actions that you like, and asking questions to obtain advice, opinions, and information. When we act professionally, we are projecting an image of trustworthiness, expertise, and commitment. Our customer senses our abilities from this image and creates and appreciates time and effort to do business with us. And it's quality business when they trust us. In turn, our customers will welcome our advice and opinions, refer us to prospects, and often take our suggestion to purchase our products and services. Trust is very important, and how professionally we act can make or break that trust. The skills we use to give customers this professional impression are behaving pleasantly and positively, being persuasive and persistent despite resistance, and staying focused on the customer's needs and satisfying those needs. And finally, when we practice being a customer advocate, we communicate clearly and thoroughly that we understand the customer's point of view. We do this by planning ahead meaning know your objective, your product, your service, and your customer. Provide a logical approach to solving their problems and providing services for them. And always be sure to follow up. Pay attention to the details. They will always appreciate that extra bit of service. To wrap up our session on phone skills and etiquette, I'd like to run by you a summary of what to remember about good telephone manners and skills. So, number one would be, have all the information you need at hand. Number two, answer the phone promptly. Number three, call the person by name and repeat it throughout the call. Number four, use language the customer will always understand. Number five, use the hold button. Do not cup the mouthpiece. Number six, don't use a canned script. It's insulting. Number seven, use common courtesy, please and thank yous. Number eight, make the customer feel important. Number nine, learn to listen. Number 10, when the customer starts talking, you stop talking. Number 11, never interrupt. Number 12, take good notes. Number 13, listen for the overtones. Number 14, limit your own talking. Number 15, use appropriate telephone vocabulary, motivating words, fact-finding words, words that invite action. And avoid, at all costs, irritating words or phrases like, understand? Don't you know? Get my point? Etc. Let's remember to use a voice that is clear, well-paced, friendly, and sincere. Use a manner that is both professional and persuasive. Let's always demonstrate a courteous telephone behavior. And we need to demonstrate to our callers that we are listening and that we have the ability to help them. Remember to put a smile on every call. Lower your rate of speech. Speak directly into the instrument. Enunciate your words clearly. Sound natural. And be a customer advocate. Let's take a moment together now. I'd like you to close your eyes and try to remember the first telephone conversation that comes to your mind with the company you called. What do you recall? Was it a good contact or a bad? How did it make you feel as a customer? Will you be dialing their number again or checking the directory for the next available competitor? The choice is yours.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call with your comments. The Small Business University is produced and distributed by Grandy and Associates. And if we can be of service to you, please give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Or check out our website, www.grandyassociates.com. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.